Welcome back to Tempelhof Nights, or as I like to call it, the Papaya Edition. Welcome back to Motorsport 101. Yes, folks, the McLaren Global Takeover is among us. And for once, it's not looking kind of sus either. Hey guys, welcome to episode 364 of Motorsport 101. I'm your friendly neighbourhood host, Trey Harrison. And in this episode of the show, we'll be talking about our favourite Formula E round. Well, maybe second favourite behind Monaco these days. The proper Formula E Blue Ribbon event these days. It's Berlin. We call it the Tempelhof Nights Edition. The doubleheader in Berlin. And, well, we had a fun one this time round. We had Edo Mortara and the return of Mercedes dominance. A familiar tale as old as 2014. But still, it's good to see it back for a one-off weekend, right? Like, don't all jump up and down like this. It's fine.
A rare occurrence in these trying times.
I know! Post-pandemic and the advantage just disappeared. You know, we're all back to normal now.
Merck to and just here like, I thought that advantage was going to be locked in for years.
I know! What a problem to have. Let's go around the horn real quick and introduce our esteemed panel. First up, Mr. Ryan Eric King, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great. I'm glad that I didn't have to spend $250,000 or offer to buy someone a horse.
Thanks for listening, everybody. That's been Motorsport 101. We'll see you next week. Bye!
How am I supposed to follow that one up, King? Like, come on, dude.
That's the thing. You don't, Buckley. You just don't. I've done 340 plus of these now. That might be the wildest intro statement we've ever had.
Yeah, I'm not going to explain it any further. If you know, you know.
This is worse than Megan Klingenberg. This is worse than the restraining order for Johnson and Laura Kenny. Up the power rankings of unhinged intros. King, you've excelled yourself on this one. Well played. That is magnificent shithousery, if I do say so myself. Cam, good luck topping that one.
I'm not even going to bother. Insert generic Porsche sucks comment here. Welcome to the show, everyone.
We peaked already, man. 4 minutes in.
We peaked. We've peaked as a Motorsports Network.
Yeah.
Please send your complaints to @RyanEricKing on Twitter.
Yep. Especially, do not send it my way. Let that be King's
problem. We have enough of those going Dre's way.
Like, I can't wait for the person involved to hit King with a slap suit. It's going to be hilarious.
Good luck.
I'm just saying, King, I've not got the piggyback to pay your legal fees. I'm just throwing that out there in advance.
I didn't reference the person involved. It is to the listener to come up with a conclusion about who I was referencing.
I wonder...
it's hearsay.
I wonder if that many legal fees will be the same amount to cover... Jim from New York suing IMSA because, hey, I want to price dump my Le Mans hypercar. You won't let me.
All I'm saying is 2021's Golden Cock winner firmly holding on to the shaft of the award with a firm
By the end of the 5-year homologation period, he's going to have a golden sitting right on his
table. Oh, no!
How am I going to get through this episode? What is wrong with you people? It's not a good sign. Out of the three of us here today, I'm the rational one here.
Easily the most rational of the three.
Well, I'm going to have to censor what Cam said there, just because I know Jim is far more likely to sue us than the other guy.
And all I'm saying is, I'm definitely not paying the legal fees for that one. All I'm saying is, we might get a repeat winner of the Golden Cock for the first time in its history when Christmas rolls around. Formula E, meanwhile. Apparently, this is a Formula E podcast.
Yeah, that's what we actually came here for.
Who knows? Honestly, at this point, who knows? This podcast already got in strange directions in the first 5 minutes. On this apparent Formula E podcast, we're going to talk the big one, McLaren, they're here. Like the Wyatt family. They are here. They're expanding again. They're going to be confirmed in Formula E for Season 8. They'll be taking over the artists formerly known as Mercedes EQ. We'll get into some of that. We'll get into potential drivers, potential powertrains, what's going on there. We'll also talk about Berlin and, well, Mercedes, in mixed capacity, laid the hammer on this one with Ettore Mortara. Gentlemen, we can celebrate.
You've been waiting for one of these.
Ettore Mortara has a pole position. Yes.
It's about damn time.
It is 55th attempt in his career. And it's not like he's had bad cars for the majority of his career either.
No.
55 attempts. He waits a long time for a pole position, and like London buses, too, come along at once. We'll talk about his monster weekend in Berlin over the... And he's basically back in the title race. I'll talk about that, Mercedes dominance, Nyck de Vries winning race two as well, and what that means for the overall course of the season. And we had to talk about this. We had our own, shall we say, Haref 97 moment from Formula One here, where we had... Checking my notes here. A dead heat in qualifying in a duel, and everybody lost their minds over this. And did you see the delicious new meme, gentlemen, of Jev looking out of the door window?
I have not. I missed the new meme format dropping. I was sick.
Oh, you missed it. It was great. It was just Jev. It was just angry Jev poking his head through a door window. It was great. Like, new meme format dropped. It's going to be great. It was a fun time. We'll talk about that as well, because it pissed off a lot of people. I don't know why it does. We get mad about things in motorsport very quickly. But we'll talk a little bit about that, because it's fun, and we like fun here. Because there's nothing more fun than a dead heat, right? Right? No controversy there at all. But in the meantime, basically you can find us real quick. We're on youtube.com/motorsport101. We're on facebook.com/motorsport101. We're on Twitter at motorsport_11. If you want to follow us personally on Twitter, you can direct all your lawsuits at Ryan Eric King, at CBuckley917, and me for compliments on the show at Harrison101HD. That's their problem. Don't wrap me in this. I'm not with them. Honest. We're also on Instagram.
It's your name on the show. You take responsibility.
That's what you think, buddy. we're also on Instagram at Motorsport101Pod. That's an Instagram? What is that? Yeah, Motorsport101Pod. Yeah, we're on there for Instagram stuff. We've got our website as well, motorsport101.com, for all of our episodes, all of our content, including some written stuff as well. All of the stuff we talked about over the weekend for MotoGP, IndyCar, and Ask Dre is back as well for the month of April, even though it went out on the 19th of May. Look, time is a social construct, okay? It was a bit late, but we got there in the end. Some fun stuff about Andretti and F1 and Colton Herter and, you know, McLaren and a couple of the MotoGP stuff. It's a fun time. Go check it out if you haven't already. So, yeah, all of that is on there as well as our Patreon page, patreon.com/motorsport101. Check us out on there. It's going to be a fun time for all involved. But, gentlemen, shall we talk some McLaren? Shall we talk a bit of Formula E? Let's do that before we get sued.
It's already too late, brother.
So, let's get the big one out of the way. We got confirmation on Friday, just as the weekend was starting, that yes, the cat's out of the bag. About as badly kept a secret as Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, that McLaren was going to be in Formula E. They'd already confirmed their interest some time ago. They've now confirmed that they will be taking over the Mercedes EQ. I think it's the right time. I mean, the EQ brand for Season 8 to start the sport's third generation of car next year. It's going to be a full takeover. Ian James, the current team principal there, will also keep his role as team principal going forward. Papaya is going to be in Formula E, everybody. Thank God. I was getting tired of red, white, and black liveries everywhere. Here's some quotes from some of the key players involved. From Ian James saying, quote, "Becoming part of the McLaren racing family is a privilege. McLaren has always been synonymous with business success and high performance. This is a great moment for all parties involved, but above all, for the people that make up this team. They are what keep its heart beating. Being able to continue working with them is what I'm most excited about. I'm very much looking forward to this next chapter for the team and will be a proud member of it in Season 9. Zach Brown also chipped in, giving it the big one, saying McLaren Racing always seeks to compete against the best and on the leading edge of technology, providing our fans, partners, and people with new ways to be excited, entertained, and inspired. Formula E, like all our racing series, fulfills all those criteria. Really? I didn't know Extreme E was that popular. I firmly believe the Formula E will give McLaren Racing a competitive advantage through greater understanding of EV racing while providing a point of difference to our fans, partners, and people, and continuing to drive us along our sustainability pathway. Gentlemen, what did you make of this news? Because, boy, I was like, ooh, man. That's intriguing.
McLaren actually went through with it. It's not like the McLaren hypercar program. It's not like it's not like Real Madrid promising Kylian Mbappe and Erling Haaland. They actually went through with it.
We're hitting all the cultural references out of the park today, clearly. Anything else in news you would have just ham hock in here, Cam, while we're at it, yeah? You know, just I'm just saying, Booker T is trending on Twitter.
Here's the problem is that we've been teased for so long about McLaren doing something that, like, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by McLaren doing anything anymore because they've been talking about joining another series for like 7 years now.
But the thing is,
it's the second gen Acura NSX of announcements. Dude, just release it already.
Oh no! Like, I find it strange that while we're in a world where a lot of these big motorsport firms are downsizing, or at least looking at themselves in the mirror and thinking, "Do we actually, you know, need to race in this series? Like, is there a way around this?" And you know, they downsize, like BMW, for example, has done recently. I mean, they already left this series as it is, and other series as well. But like,
well, they're just going to actual endurance racing.
Oh, actual endurance racing, I see. As opposed to what exactly, Cam?
As opposed to strapping 7 planets onto the Toyota and telling them good luck. And them still winning. Yeah, I mean, it's like McLaren saw Suzuki bail for MotoGP. It's like, shit, we got to get the averages back up. Join something.
I do find it strange this is what we're doing. So McLaren in the last, half decade has now gone from F1 to an IndyCar team to an Extreme E team and now a Formula E team. And they've inherited, I don't think for less of an argument, the best team in Formula E to do it. Reigning constructors champions, drivers champions.
On Sunday was anything to go by.
Well, yeah, you know, like the other reigning constructors champs, they have the reigning drivers champ under their wing at the moment. We're not sure about next year yet, but, you know, they've inherited the best team in the sport to do it. So, are McLaren going to walk into next year as immediate favorites? That's going to
no.
be...
No, they are not.
As immediate favorites, no. I think they're going to walk into this having bought into a structure, having bought into a team that is already there. But we already know that all the pieces aren't staying. That they're joining for Gen 3, which is going to be a complete reset as far as powertrain, as far as car, everything pretty much. Mm. And this is Formula E, where we've seen teams partner up with others and be utterly dominant out of the box. And we've seen teams be complete jokes and everything in between. So I think I don't really have any expectations for McLaren because having any expectation going into Gen 3 for any given team, other than the typical stinkers, sorry to say, I don't think anyone can be a clear favorite until we get those cars out on track.
Yeah, and McLaren are going to be at a disadvantage because they won't be a manufacturer team. They'll be buying components from someone else. They won't be able to develop anything.
Right.
They won't have Sal Van Dorn next year. It's looking very likely they won't have Nyck de Vries either.
Yeah.
This is what I was going to allude to next here, the driver lineup situation, because it's always the most fun to speculate over the driver lineup as well. And, well, we already knew, we talked about it after Monaco, that Stoffel Vandoorne had already all but announced he was going to the DS Penske conglomerate, which is still a weird thing to say, that's going to be a thing. And now Nyck de Vries is being talked about in many circles for Williams F1 next year. A lot of people jumped the gun on this, journalistic-wise, last week, but hey, Nick's going to be in the Williams F1 car this weekend in Catalunya for FP1, because for some reason we all just decided, hey, let's just all stick our junior drivers in the cars this weekend. You know, why not?
Well, they're going to get some fresh eyes on that, that I can't believe it's not a Red Bull RB18. But that's what happens when you hire someone else's aero chief. They look at your car and go, guys, what are you doing? Just do what I was doing.
Right. You know, so
yeah, I mean, as far as the rumored drivers that they might pick up, I mean, we've seen Rene Rast's name thrown around, and Rene Rast is intriguing because while he was here in FE for not very long, he was both comically incapable of qualifying, but also had crazy race pace. Some of the best in the field.
Yeah, man's fast.
Rene Rast is Rene fast. We all know this. If you watch sports car racing, you know that the dude's record is above reproach.
Mm.
If they do pick him up, I think that's a great signing, but he's gotta bring some of the race pace and qualifying pace. He's gotta kind of push that back to the mean a little bit in qualifying.
Yeah. Yeah, this was strong comments from Sam Smith, probably the best FE guy in the biz, who reported it for the race last week, essentially saying that, look, if Nyck de Vries left Mercedes last year, that they were going to, if Nyck left, they were going to go for Rene Rast as the number one name on the list as a replacement. It looks like they're doing that again this year, apparently. McLaren and Rast representative Dennis Rostock were talking in Berlin over the weekend regarding this as a straight-up Stoffel replacement, basically, because it's looking like they could need two new drivers in this McLaren stable when we get going here, but at the end of the year for season 9. But, I don't know why Nyck de Vries would want to go to Williams in F1, to be honest with you.
Oh, because, no. Because it's Formula 1.
Yeah, because it's Formula 1, and also that's not his only option on the table. There are talks he can go to IndyCar. He's already, test and reserve driver for Toyota in the WEC. He has options.
Especially given that we know with what's going on with the ongoing conflagration known as Le Mans Hypercar, that there are going to be some big aspects of Toyota upended going into next year.
Right.
Nyck has options. I think if you're McLaren, you absolutely want to retain him if you can.
Absolutely.
But if you can't, you can do a hell of a lot worse than Rene Rast.
Oh, yeah. He's great. Sam also alluded to a few other options that are apparently in the mix. They have a pool of drivers, and their representatives, should Nyck de Vries move on, said these are said by several paddock sources to include Sergio Sete Câmara, Jake Dennis, Maxi Günther, and Oliver Turvey. Now, they're all good.
I don't think you can go wrong with any of those guys.
I think Sete Câmara is way better than what the Dragon car is in Formula E beneath him at the moment. I mean,
could have told you that much for free.
Yeah, like when that Dragon car has not been a total shitbox, Câmara has been in the top six on many occasions with that car. I know Câmara is better than that car, most certainly. So, like, if you wanted to go out for a left field option, I think you could go Sete Câmara quite easily. Mm. I really like Jake Dennis. I think he's a really, really fast driver. If it comes up, we know Max Günther took to this series like a duck to water very, very quickly when BMW was around. And Oliver Turvey is the safest pair of hands in FE. Like, we all know that he's embraced the grind like Damian Lillard when it comes to Formula E.
Embrace the pain.
The man's loyalty and dedication and commitment to the Blitz knows no bounds. So there's a lot of solid names in there.
I think McLaren can basically get whoever they need as a really great driver pairing. My concern is going to be for McLaren that King touched on. It isn't just that we're upending the entire technical rule book for Gen 3. My question is, how is this team going to be structured internally?
Right.
What powertrain are they going to land? Because they've got plenty of options, but then we don't know which Gen 3 powertrain is going to be the best one until they land on track. And how much of the internal structure is going to survive the move to McLaren?
Yeah,
we know Ian James is going to stick around.
Yeah.
What's everything beneath that going to look like?
And this is funny as well, because we talked about it in our season preview at the start of the season. They've just had a big restructuring within this team going into this season with HWA, when, you know, the former guys were running the team beforehand. So it's already had one restructuring last year. They're probably going to have to go through another one here. Now McLaren's running the show.
Yeah, because the former lead team had moved to Brackley, which I don't want to think about the logistics of that.
I was going to say, they moved the entire team basically fully in-house and then booted them out the door as soon as they got settled.
It's like, hey guys, enjoy your new home. Bye.
Make yourself comfortable. By the way, get out.
Here's your notice to leave.
Yeah, so I think the core management structure of the team, I think, is going to remain pretty much the same. But everything on the ground, that's my concern with the McLaren FE team.
That's absolutely a fair question to ask. We don't really know how that's going to play out, but you'd think there's going to be another restructure. Are they going to move that team to Woking? Are they just going to, like, the irony of McLaren running a team in Brackley, I think it's just funny to me.
Hey, remember we were your factory team? Yeah, we hated it.
Why do you think we're here in an orange? Any guesses on powertrain before we move on real quick? Because that's going to be intriguing as well, to be in a customer team. Like, where do they go for a powertrain?
Well, it's a basic process of elimination where Porsche are already supplying Andretti. Mahindra are rumored to be supplying
That came out of the woodwork, that Andretti is going to be a Porsche partner for Gen 3.
Yeah. It did come out last week.
Porsche going to be supplying Apt. Clear.
Porsche are going to be supplying
Apt? I mean, no. Mahindra are going to be supplying Apt.
Right.
It's not going to clear who's supplying Virgin yet. Obviously, DS with Dragon essentially becoming the new factory team, and Maserati using DS powertrains, pretty much like the seemingly the most viable option.
Nissan?
Yeah, that seems like it's going to be the most viable option. Unless
somehow that makes sense, given McLaren's V8 is once upon a time was a Nissan Group C engine.
Yeah, it's either that or run Neo 333 equipment, which...
We are not doing this. We are very far from doing this. Yeah, I think Nissan's a logical bet, although I wouldn't put it past one of the others to supply another team. Depends on their manufacturing capacity.
It would be in your best interest to supply the team that was reigning champions. You know, like... Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah, what happens when they then go out and beat... What happens when they go and beat Nissan? Because, man, Nissan's been down in the dumps for a while now.
Yeah, that's the other concern I was like, because Nissan has been bad, real bad, for the last year and a half or so now. That's going to be intriguing. Like, God, a McLaren-Nissan conglomerate. In a Formula E team. I love motorsports sometimes. You get these sorts of weird partnerships, and here we go. McLaren-Nissan coming at you. That's going to be fun. Let's talk about Berlin itself here. And one more celebration for the chat, everybody. Edo Mortara had a pole! He had a pole position! Oh, on his 53rd time. Yeah, 55, in his 55th attempt, he finally secured his first pole position in FE, which he then doubled up a day later. He won race one in pretty controlled and dominant fashion. He picked up a second on top of that in race two behind Nick De Vries. So let's do the maths here. Two pole positions, a fastest lap, a win and a second. I make that 60 points on the weekend for Edo Mortara.
Leaned up.
Yeah, my man, quote, did work. Remember, in Formula E, it's 3 points for a pole position. So, yeah, 3 points for a pole position, 2 points for fastest lap, a 25 for the win, 18 for second. It's 60 points on the weekend for Mortara. A huge haul to leave Berlin with. And with all of that numbers punched in, he's now second in the championship. 12 off the leader, which very quietly Stoffel Vandoorne put together a very solid pair of races to keep the championship lead extended out to 12 points now. I think it was 9 going into Tempelhof Knights, and he's now left with 12. So was this just a Berlin blip or the start of something serious for Edo Mortara? Because he was, by a mile, the landslide, you know, person of the weekend, if you want to call it that.
Well, I think for perspective, in that second race of the Berlin doubleheader, Mercedes and Mercedes-powered cars had a 1-2-3-4 finish.
This is what we feared going into the 2020 F1 season when we saw the I can't believe it's not a W10 circling around as the second fastest car.
Yeah, like, props to Laura Leslie on Twitter for being so good with stats. I think it was the first top four lockout for a Mercedes-powered car in any series they take part in since 2014. So, yeah, like it's like we've gone back in time. Remember we were all excited about the hybrids, you guys? That was a fun time, wasn't it?
Haha, split turbocharger, go whoosh.
Yeah, fun times.
Like, based off of, I don't want to say lack of performance, because Mortara already had a win this year, but they were not this competitive at any other round. I don't think that this is a
even in the opening round, they weren't this busted, and they were dominant by FE standards then.
Yeah, and I think it's just the nature of the Berlin track being basically so wide, and so, like, it's a power track.
It's a massive power track. I mean, for perspective, I think I'm right in saying that these two races for this weekend in Berlin was the first two races we've had all season that didn't have a single full course yellow.
Yeah,
correct.
Energy management was pretty much, I don't want to say a non-factor, but like with there being no safety cars, regen not being that important here with wide sweeping corners and things like that, where it's like they're not really that many breaking points. Like, you regen is like you hit the paddle and coast.
Yeah.
Like, again, this is Berlin, despite being Formula's most raced on track, is so much different than any other place Formula E goes to.
Yeah, it's like a Roval, but for Formula E. It's really strange in that sense. It's such a fast track, very flowing, you know, very wide as well. So the odds of you actually getting a full course yellow or a safety car are just very, very slim. And yeah, two very, very clean races for the most part, besides the usual Formula E shoulder checks, apart from Da Costa, who almost was in an airplane crash at the end of race two. oh boy, that was Code Brown right there on that one. But yeah, it's easy to forget just how good Edo Mortara is at this. Like, I had, obviously doing the notes for this show, you forget he was championship runner-up last year. Like, I know season 7 of Formula E was a complete and utter shit show in the grand scheme of things, where we had 15 men eligible to win the title going into the final weekend. But Mortara did end up second overall by the time it was all said and done, right? Like, he's good. He's always been good. Everyone I ever speak to about Formula E has gushed about how good Edo Mortara is in this series. And, yeah, like, apparently according to my friend Hazel, like, even Toto Wolff was considering for the F1 drive at one point, which I thought was quite funny. He was like, there's no way you would hire him over Valtteri Bottas, right?
Nah, it was a big DTM pick.
Big DTM energy, etc., etc. But I think it's easy.
The corporate stamp of approval.
Oh, yeah. Like, it is easy to forget just how good Mortara is. Just virtually mistake-free. You know, manages energy better than almost anybody in the field. His attack mode usage was spot on, you know. But none of that really mattered because, like, it's almost like low-key Stoffel Van Dorn is here again, folks. It's Stoffel season is back. It's alive and well. They can't move Van Dorn off the top. And we're over halfway through the season now already. We have 7 races to go out of the 15 that was on the bill for this season. Van Dorn's not going away, King. Like, your man's might finally come good in Formula E.
Oh, Lord.
Get the Stoffel season t-shirts printed. It's time.
There's still a long way to go.
But the thing there's is... There's still time for a Jaguar comeback. You know that, right? There's still God. Time.
Stop it, Drake. Stop it. Get some help. I mean, that's the thing with Stoffel is that, like, no matter how many good results everyone else pieces together, Stoffel's floor is still so high that he's never not scoring really solid points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
low key
Mortara didn't have 2 retirements in the last 4 races, he'd probably be championship leader right now.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. It's a strong position for him. He's not scored lower than 10 points in the last 5 rounds. He's just keeps chipping away. It's easy to forget that Mortara took 60 points home out of those last 2 weekends. But at the same time,
still has a gap.
Yeah, he still has a gap, and he had 2 DNFs before that too. Like, so again, it's still just erratic how this scoreboard is right now. Although the top 3 are starting to pull away from Checks Notes. Mitch, bruh. Oh. But still, it's Stoffel season is here to stay, folks. But that is going to be a fascinating one going forward. I want to see more Van Dorn and Mortara violence at the front of the field. It's going to be fun. Now, we have to talk about race 1 on Saturday, and more specifically, the duels. Cringy intros aside, we did get... some drama, because Formula E can't help itself. Perspective. Semi-final 1 of the duels puts Alex Sims. Yes, Alex Sims was in the semi-final of a qualifying duel. Don't ask me how he got here. But he was here against Jev, the almighty John Erik Verne. And, well, in their one-lap showdown in the duel semi-final, they both had a dead heat. They both qualified with the exact same time in the semi-final. Everyone's confused for about 10 seconds. Everyone's in shock. Dilbar Gill was about to have a heart attack. just like, well, what happens now? And then race control had to declare on the overall team radio that, Article 33.7, folks, in the rule book, first man over the line. Gets to go through. Basically, they break the tie, very similar to what happens in F1, where I believe it's the same rule where it's whoever first man first over the line gets the position, right?
Yeah.
So Jev was not happy. Got out of the car, immediately went to Nikki Shields. We love Nikki. Good to see her back. And quote came out with the line of quote, "It's the stupidest rule I've ever seen in my life, but it is what it is." Because every racing driver has to say it is what it is when they get screwed out of something. It's the rules. It's like the Ten Commandments. It's the stupidest rule he's ever seen in his life, but we've got to get on with it, basically. Now, gentlemen, are you okay with this? Because I saw a lot of people get very pissed off at this series that this was a rule and this happened, and this is the way they decided to settle it.
I'm of two minds. One, it makes sense. It's a long-standing rule. In motorsport, it's always been like that in terms of set the same time. Whoever set it first gets it, because it's on the idea that over the time the track gets faster. So if you set the same time later on, technically it's slower. Though, it also reeks big time of, well, we came up with this new qualifying format, but we didn't really think it all the way through and rewrite all the regulations for the specific format.
Yeah, it's like, well, we'll just copy and paste the usual rule we get from Formula One, and there's like don't worry, guys. There's no way this will actually come up in an actual session, right? Right?
Like,
what do you mean?
The only part that makes, like, the only part that makes sense about it is that, if I recall, usually the higher seated driver goes first. So by that note, that's the tiebreaker. Whoever's seated higher just advances on automatically, which also makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. Like if you've gone faster in round one,
a whole lot of sense. And yet everyone's really mad about the rules making sense.
Yep.
It's really weird. Yeah. Go on.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it as it is.
Yeah, like, I know mates on the Discord server we have where it was like, it's a one-on-one qualifying series. How can you have, like, the first guy win on the tiebreak? And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess to a degree, but it's not like they're setting their laps at exactly the same time. It's just someone's got to go second, unfortunately.
Well, I think, obviously, you know, friend of the show on the Discord server, Sasha, brought up a good point where there's nothing in, like, there's no logistical constraints other than it not being in the rules, and it maybe should be a rule that if there's a tie, it's a push that both drivers advance to the next round, and then it's a three-way duel in that next round.
I'll be okay with that.
I'd be fine with that. Honestly, like, there's a lot of ways you could quote unquote solve this, and I'd probably be fine with most of them.
Yeah. I think that the current way does make sense, but it does show a whole bunch of laziness, and that any solution would be better than just not doing anything.
Yeah, just first man over the line in a series where you've tried to get both laps on TV at the same time. It's just not a great look, in my humble opinion. I know that logistically, from a technological standpoint, it completely makes sense. It's just, image is a problem, and you've tried very hard with this duels format to try and get as much side-by-side car action as possible, you know, over the course of, you know, this new format debut, which, but don't get me wrong, we love the format. We like, it's getting better and better every round, and it's been fun, and it's still hilarious seeing Andre Lotterer look like a Bond villain every time he turns to the screen. It's great. But, you know, it's just a bit silly.
You start performing like a Bond villain. Actually be a threat.
The Draenation has taken too many beatings over the course of this weekend as it is. The Lotterer win is just not going to happen, is it? It's just not going to happen before he goes, ends up going back off the sports car somewhere. I hate it here. I want Lotterer to just win one race. Just a crumb, okay? We Dres need to stick together. It makes me sad.
He's running out of time.
I know. He's got like 8 rounds left. Sort of 7 rounds, really, because we've got 7 races to go overall for the course of this season. But hey, you know, maybe we'll see how we go.
No, there are 8 races left.
Oh, 8 races. I miscounted. Sorry. Some double headers in there somewhere. But yeah, you got 8 races to go. There's still time. There's still time for a lot of a win. I'm going to manifest it into existence. Yeah, I overall didn't have a major problem with it. I understand why that rule exists. Every series does it a little bit differently. Like in MotoGP, they have a countback rule instead in the event of a tie where they go to second fastest lap, which causes its own set of problems. You can't do that in Formula E for obvious reasons because it's a one-lap shootout format as opposed to a timed session. So it's all a little bit up and down and all over.
Well, I also brought up that is a potential solution. Whoever had the fastest time in the group stage advances.
Yeah, highest seed gets priority. Sure, why not? You know, it rewards being faster, you know, consistently. So yeah, that could work too. I'd have no problem with that either. Yeah, it's like everything else could have been fine, and this is like the least good solution. Okay.
I'd say it's the least dramatic solution.
Yeah, that's fair to say. Formula E is back in a couple of weeks' time. It's going to be back on June 4th. Brand new round. We're going to Jakarta, everybody. We're going to Indonesia.
Jakarta.
Rezzy's gonna fight you. Rezzy's gonna fight the hell out of you.
Yeah,
damn.
Yeah. Inside note: there are multiple people from Indonesia in our Discord server. I am going to have my neck hung for this. I sincerely apologize to all Indonesians everywhere. Like, I guess I've now ticked my box for controversy on this show alongside my colleagues. Over the course of the last 40 minutes, we've got a hat trick, everybody. We've all ticked our controversy box on that one. But yes, Formula E in Indonesia for the first time on June 4th in just under 3 weeks' time. So we will be back for that one. It's going to be fun. But yeah, before we get out of here, basically you can find us real quick. We're on youtube.com/motorsport101. We're on facebook.com, same address. We're on Twitter at motorsport_101. Personal handles at the screen, again, on the screen? Not video medium anymore. So Harrison101HD, at Ryan Eric King, at CBuckyNarma7. And if you want to follow RJ as well, you can, at RJ O'Connell. He'll be back next week. We're also on Instagram at motorsport101pod. All of our content is on our website, motorsport101.com, including our Patreon page as well, patreon.com/motorsport101. You know where to find us. You can back us financially on there. Thank you all so much for listening in. We'll be back next week for Formula One's Spanish Grand Prix. Gentlemen, pretend to be excited about going to race in Catalonia again.
No.
Perfect.
So who's starting on pole in Indianapolis?
Good question. Very good question. That's the real fun. You might see us on Twitch
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say Thiago Montero.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. I was just going to say Takuma Sato. I mean, I have a nice, generic, you know, easy prediction there. But no, you had to go there. You had to go digging up the wounds of 2005, didn't you, Buckley? You just had to do it, didn't you?
I could bring up the 2008 Brickyard 400. But that's for another day.
No, we're going home before we end up getting stabbed. I've been Dre Harrison, they've been Ryan Eric King, and Cal Buckley. See you next week for F1 Spanish Grand Prix, maybe. Until then, sayonara.
Bye.
Please send your donations for our legal fees to at Ryan Eric King on Twitter.
Yeah, let me run this back. I pissed off undisclosed billionaire. Cam's pissed off local millionaire. And Dre is pissed off the fourth most populous country on the planet.
I win!
There are levels to this.
I win! You're welcome, Internet.
What do you win?